for you to take your Bibles and follow tonight. I'm going to be reading quite a number of scriptures. I hope you'll not be weary from turning to too many verses, but God has promised to bless His Word. I think He blesses our teaching of His Word, but I do know that He blesses His Word, that His Word will not return unto Him void. It shall accomplish that whereunto He has sent it, and that which pleaseth Him. I know that Paul commanded Timothy to preach the Word in season and out of season. There are no particular seasons to preach the Word. We're to preach the Word at all times. And so I'm asking you to do a little bit of reference work tonight. First of all, in 2 Corinthians 4. Now, my subject tonight is the gospel. One of our men was in the study a moment ago, and he looked at my sermon topic, and he said, "You're going to preach the gospel tonight." And in all seriousness, I say this, I do want to understand the gospel. I do want to understand the gospel, for many do not. There are many preachers who do not know the gospel. There are many deacons in churches who do not know the gospel. They actually do not know the gospel. Now, I'm not saying a gospel. I think everybody has a gospel. I'm talking about the gospel. Paul said they'll come to you preaching another gospel, which is not the gospel at all. It's a perversion of the gospel. There isn't an era abounding that doesn't have some truth in it. It wouldn't be received if it didn't have some truth in it. Every era has some truth in it. But this is the gospel I'm talking about. I've underlined those two words, the gospel. Not a gospel, not the Baptist gospel, the gospel. That's what I want to understand. And that's what I want to know. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Now, there are a lot of people who don't know the gospel because it's hid. In whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds, of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on that verse. Just let it stay like it is. That the gospel is hid from many people. And there are many who have eyes, but they cannot see the gospel. They don't know the gospel. And then Isaiah 53. Turn over there a minute. Here's further proof of this statement which I've made. Here's the statement that I've made. I want to understand the gospel, because there are many who do not understand the gospel and do not know the gospel. Many. Paul says the gospel is hidden from them, and that Satan hath blinded their eyes and their minds, and they don't know the gospel. And then in Isaiah 53, verse 1, Isaiah said, "Who hath believed our report?" What is his report? His report is the gospel. He's talking about Christ and his crucifixion and his substitutionary death and the shedding of his blood. But who hath believed it? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Is the arm of the Lord been revealed to you? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. If you think Jesus Christ is popular or was popular, you're wrong. Not the Christ of the Bible. I walked in the radio station one time several years ago, and one of the announcers said, "Have you heard the news?" I said, "I haven't heard a thing this morning. I just got up and came down here to preach my sermon." He said, "Well, this fella Lennon is that his name, who's one of the Beatles, said that he was more popular than Jesus Christ. What do you think about that? I said, I think he's right. He said, I beg your pardon. I said, I think he's right. He is more popular than Jesus Christ. Of course he is. Anybody that's got any friends at all is more popular than Jesus Christ. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There's no form, no comeliness about him that we should desire him. The Christ of the Bible is hated by this world. That's what he said. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you, it hates me. It hated me long before it hated you. The Jesus that's being preached today is the popular Jesus, but not the God of the Bible. He's not popular. Men hate him. And that's what this scripture is saying here. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now turn to Ephesians 6. And you'll find that the gospel is said in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. It is said to be a mystery. Now, how many times in growing up, I hope you haven't heard it around here, because I hope our people have a little more understanding than that. But how many times growing up did you hear somebody stand and pray, Lord, enable the preacher to preach the gospel so simple that a little child can understand it? How many times you heard that? I don't care whether it's a little child or a grown man. I don't care whether it's a third grade student or a university graduate. Nobody can understand the gospel of Jesus Christ apart from the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You don't preach the gospel so that a natural man can understand it, because the gospel is a mystery. Now that's right. Look at Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Pray for me, Paul said, that utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, brother, there's a lot of difference there. Paul said, you pray for me. There's a lot of difference in a man standing up and praying that his pastor may put the gospel so simple that a little child can understand it, and a man over here praying that his pastor may preach with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of God might so reveal Christ that men and women, boys and girls, shall come to understand the mystery of the gospel. The gospel's a mystery. I want to know the gospel. The gospel. I want to understand the gospel, because many do not. There are people right here tonight who do not know the gospel. Now, they've memorized Scripture, and they've memorized the law, and they've memorized a lot of other things, but as far as actually knowing the gospel, there are people here who do not know the gospel. And you heard preachers on the radio today, if you turn the radio on at all and the television, who do not know the gospel. Because the gospel is a mystery. Secondly, I want to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark the 16th chapter. Listen to this command of our Lord Jesus Christ here. In Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, he that believes what? The gospel. Not a gospel. Not any gospel. Not he that believes what you say particularly, but he that believes the gospel and is baptized is going to be saved. And he that believes not the gospel shall be damned. The gospel. Well, I'll tell you, when you talk about the weight and responsibility of preaching, you go into all the world, and everybody you talk to, preach the gospel to them, and if a man believes that gospel, I'll save him. If he doesn't believe it, I'll damn him. So we're not playing games. Christ sent us to preach the gospel. And Paul said he didn't send me to baptize, although he baptized some people, but he sent me to preach the gospel, which is foolishness to some, but it's the power of God to those that believe it. And brethren, it's dangerous not to preach the gospel. Turn to Galatians 1, verse 9. In Galatians 1, verse 9, listen to this. As we said before, so say I now again. It's dangerous not to preach the gospel. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. In another place, Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I'm under the wrath of God. There's a curse resting upon me. Verse 8 says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Doesn't matter who it is. And then, as Brother Charlie prayed a moment ago in 1 Thessalonians 1, you listen to this. And brethren, the gospel must be preached in the Spirit. In the Spirit. You can't just sit down and open the Bible and have somebody cross the table from you and reason with them and read to them so many words and convert them. Not only must that gospel be preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, it must be received in the power of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Spirit of God to enable man to preach the gospel. It takes the Spirit of God to enable a man to hear the gospel. Whom do men say that I am? Christ said to his disciples. What out yonder in the public, what are they saying about me? And one of the apostles said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets, but whom do you say that I am? Peter said, well, we know who you are. You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. You're Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. You didn't figure that out by yourself. If you were left to yourself, you'd be just like all these other people out here, blind and deaf and dumb. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. Eyes has not seen, ear has not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things prepared by God for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now listen to this verse, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And here's how you found it out. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but it came to you in power, in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Our gospel didn't come in word only. The gospel did come in word. It had to come in word. But it didn't come in word only. It came in power. It came in the Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit made the gospel effectual to your heart. I want to preach the gospel, for Christ sent us to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel because it's dangerous not to preach the gospel. I want to preach the gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit, not just in words, but in spirit. Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I read that to you a moment ago. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And then turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. This is most interesting here. In 1 Corinthians 4, 15, Paul said, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I have begotten you through the gospel. Christ anointed me, Paul said, made me an apostle, separated me to the gospel, sent me to preach the gospel. I know it's dangerous not to preach the gospel. Woe unto me if I don't preach the gospel. If I don't preach the gospel, let the curse of God rest upon me. And I must preach the gospel to you in the power of the Holy Spirit. For in the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel is the power of God to beget in you life. Turn to Ephesians 1:13. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You are begotten through the gospel. And in Ephesians 1, verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted, when? After you heard the word of truth. The gospel. The gospel of your salvation. And then, now watch this. And this is so important right here. In Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Now I've said this. I've said I want to know the gospel. Many do not. That's stating a fact. Many do not. That's a fact. God says that in His Word. The gospel's here. They're blind as a bat. Yes, sir. They're deaf. They can't see, can't understand. Christ sent us to preach the gospel. It's dangerous not to preach it. The gospel must be preached not in the wisdom of the flesh, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ be covered and not discerned, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And thirdly, I want the blessings promised in the gospel. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, listen to this. In Mark 10, 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. Eternal life. No man hath left any of these things for my sake and the sake of the gospel, but what he shall receive 100-fold. Now and in the world to come, eternal life. Now then, I've been doing what we do so often. I've been talking about the gospel. But you know I hadn't preached the gospel. That's right, I've been talking about it. I was reading Spurgeon one, and this is what preachers do so often. They talk about the gospel and don't preach the gospel. And you pick up a book, and it says, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you read the whole thing. And there's no gospel in it. It's talked about the gospel. It's talked about the dangers of not preaching the gospel. It talks about the rewards that come from knowing the gospel. It talks about our responsibility to believe the gospel. But actually, the gospel itself is not preached. I've heard dozens and dozens of sermons that were beautiful, that were eloquently delivered, but they didn't have any gospel in them. I thought back after the sermon was over. Well, he never preached the gospel. He never preached the gospel. And if I'd been sitting there, an unsaved sinner, an unbeliever, there wouldn't have been a thing in that sermon to tell me how to change my state or how to be anything but an unbeliever. There's no way in the world that a man could be saved listening to that type of preaching. All right, let's see now tonight. The gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans, the first chapter. Okay, let's ask the men of the Bible to identify the gospel. First of all, Paul in Romans chapter 1. Paul said, I'm a servant, that is a bond slave, of Jesus Christ. I'm called to be an apostle. I'm separated. I am separated unto the gospel of God. I'm separated to the gospel of God, which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, which he promised, which he prophesied. Now, brethren, men have never been saved but one way. And I know that people talk about dispensationalism. The Bible does talk about dispensations. There's a dispensation of the gospel committed unto me. But dispensations does not mean that God saved people different ways in different periods of time. In the Scofield Reference Bible, there is some reference to the fact that perhaps people were saved back in the Old Testament under the law, or under judges, or in the days of innocence. There's never been but one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's never been but one way of salvation, and that's through the death of Christ on the cross. And there's never been but one way for a sinner to be cleansed, and that's in the blood of the Lamb. Now let me show you something. Hold Romans 1 there just a minute and go to Hebrews chapter 10. Now this ought to settle this issue once and for all. David is saved the same way that I am. Abraham is saved, or I'm saved the same way he was. And Moses is saved the same way that I am, or you are, anybody else, through faith in Christ and his blood. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, just talking about Christ, can never, 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 with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Verse 4, it is not possible, it is not possible, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It's not possible. These things were types of Christ. People who were saved in Old Testament time were saved anticipating Christ coming, looking to Christ coming, expecting Christ coming. And these sacrifices which they offered were types of Christ. They're no more saved by the blood sacrifices than we're saved by the wine at the Lord's table. We take the wine at the Lord's table as Christ gave it to his apostles and said, this is my blood. Drink ye all of it. Well, it's a type. It's a picture. It's a symbol. And we drink the wine remembering his blood. They took the blood and put it on the altar looking forward to his blood. Same thing. They kept the Passover feast expecting Christ. We keep the Lord's table remembering Christ. Abraham saw my day, Christ said, and was glad. Moses wrote of me. Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world. There's never been any kind of salvation except in the covenant of grace. And there's only one Savior in the covenant of grace. And the covenant of grace is the original covenant. So Paul says in Romans 1, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm separated to the gospel of God, which is no new thing. It's the gospel which he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. And it's concerning his Son. Now, first thing about the gospel. The gospel is concerning not a plan. Preacher Sam will preach the gospel to you tonight. Now, if you'll repent, repentance is to change your ways and change your manners and change your masters and change your methods and all these. If you'll believe, and if you'll join the church and be baptized, if you'll make a public decision, if you accept Christ, you'll be saved. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel's not a plan, and it's a person. The only way that a man can preach the gospel is to preach Christ. Christ in his deity, Christ in his humanity, Christ in his obedience, Christ in his death, Christ in his burial, Christ in his resurrection, Christ in his ascended glory, and Christ in his coming power. Christ is the gospel. It's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at it. Which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He was a Jew. He was of the house and lineage of David. He came as a descendant of David. He came as the rightful heir of David's throne. He was a man. Concerning the flesh, he was the son of David. Concerning his deity, verse 4, he's the son of God. So this gospel, Paul said, under which I am separated, this gospel of God, which is promised by the holy prophets, by the prophets of old, is concerning a person who was of the seed of David, a man, and the Son of God, deity. The gospel is not a program. The gospel is not a law. The gospel is not a doctrine. The gospel is concerning a person. Now, if a man's going to preach the gospel, he's not going to preach you. He's not going to preach our forefathers. He's not going to preach our Baptist heritage. He's not going to preach what you ought to do. He's going to, first of all, preach Christ. Christ the God-man. Christ the Son of David and the Son of God. Christ our surety, our representative. Christ who was the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. He's going to preach Christ. All right, the second thing. Now turn to 1 Corinthians 15. If he preaches the gospel, he's going to preach Christ because it's concerning his Son. And he's going to preach the same thing these men preached in the Old Testament. He's going to be in accord. He's going to be in harmony with the Word of God. He's going to preach what Isaiah preached and what David preached. And what the apostles preached. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, what about this person? Concerning the flesh, he was the seed of David. Concerning his deity, he was the Son of God. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel. Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which you say. That is, if you keep in memory or hold fast what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he arose the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Daniel. I want to show you something very interesting over here. In Daniel, I'll give you a moment to find it, but in Daniel chapter 6, I think this is one of the best illustrations that I've ever found in the Word of God to picture the gospel. In Daniel chapter 6, now there was a king named Darius, Daniel chapter 6. And Darius had over his kingdom 100, verse 1 of Daniel 6, 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120 princes, he had three presidents. There was the king and one, two, three presidents and 120 captains or princes. And in verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes. He was the number one president because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Now then, in verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, well, look at verse 4, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they couldn't find any fault in him. These fellows were jealous of him. They hated him, couldn't find any fault in him. So then verse 6, these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and they said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. Verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, these men knew Daniel was a man of prayer. They knew Daniel worshipped the Lord of heaven. And they knew Daniel would never go 30 days without praying. So they came to the king, knowing the king's ego and vanity. And they told him, they said, now for 30 days, let's establish a law, a statute, that if any man ask any petition of any God, they didn't use the word if any man prays to his God, because they knew immediately the king and think of Daniel, who was a man of prayer. But they said if he could ask any petition of any man or any God for 30 days, cast him into the den of lions. Verse 8, now, O king, establish this decree and sign this writing. We want to honor you, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be altered. Wherefore, King Darius, being puffed up, I'm sure, and elated by that honor, signed the writing and the decree. Now, verse 10, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in the chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day, and he prayed. And he gave thanks before his God, as he always did. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they came near and spake unto the king, have you not signed a decree that every man shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, shall be cast in the den of lions? The king answered and said, that's true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said, king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, nor the decree which thou hast signed, he maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then when the king heard these words, he was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Somebody called this Darius' dilemma. Here he was faced with his law. He had signed this thing into law, and the law could not be changed. He would lose his throne. He would lose the support of his nation. He had signed it into law. Daniel had violated his law. Daniel was his friend. He wanted to deliver him. He didn't want to cast him into a den of lions. What could he do? So he walked the floor. And these men assembled, verse 15, unto the king. And they said, now know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established can be changed. What's he going to do? Almighty God, we go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Almighty God is faced with the same thing. God has established a law. Now, it's not a foolish decree like King Darius. I know that. But God has established a law. He said that if a man continueth not in all things written in the law to do them, he shall be destroyed. He shall be damned. God said, I'll in no wise clear the guilty. Almighty God has his law, and that law has been broken by you and broken by me. We have sinned against God. And the decree is that if a man sin against God, he shall die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. Death in hell. Separation from God eternally. Now, Darius looked at Daniel and loved him. But the law said he has to go in the lion's den. And God Almighty so loved the world. The only way that God can deliver the world from sin, us from sin, and be true to His decree and true to His law and true to His righteousness is to find somebody to take our place. And that's what Christ did. Christ our Lord came down here according to the Scriptures. And He died on the tree according to the Scriptures, according to every type, every shadow, every example, according to the law of God, according to the justice of God. Daniel's going to be cast into the lion's den unless somebody can be cast in Daniel's place. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He was cast into the lion's den in our place, and we go free. He bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, the third and last thing. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. The gospel, it's concerning a person. The gospel, it's concerning that person's work. He was made flesh, dwelt among us, in our place, obeyed God's law, in our place, went to the cross, went to the lion's den, died for us, because the law of God cannot be changed. He will not clear the guilty. Now, in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 8, in verse 7, it says, "To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, brethren, I know a lot of people say, "Well, I believe God's going to take everybody to heaven." That's not so. It says God is going to take vengeance on all who obey not the gospel. Our Lord said in Mark 16, "He that believeth not the gospel shall be damned." But I know, preacher, there's some people who are sincere. They're religiously sincere. I know that they are too. But it says here that God is going to take vengeance on all them that know not God and that obey not the gospel. And if you'll turn to Romans 2, verse 16, and listen to this. Romans 2, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. Brethren, the issue in glory is not going to be what church you belong to. The issue in glory or at judgment is not going to be how many sermons you preached or great works you did in God's name. He's going to judge the world according to the gospel. What is the gospel? I want to know the gospel. As clear as I can define it, the gospel is concerning a person, the God-man. The gospel is concerning the substitutionary, sacrificial, vicarious work of that God-man. Here on this earth as a man, on the cross as a sacrifice, in the tomb as a scapegoat, at the right hand of God as a high priest, coming again as a reigning king, and sitting on the throne of judgment as the judge of the world. And that judgment shall be based upon he that believeth the gospel shall be saved, and he that believeth not the gospel shall be damned. Our Father, take thy word tonight and send it deep, piercingly, and eternally into our hearts, and reveal unto us the gospel of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bring every heart here to love Him, to trust Him, to rely upon Him, to rejoice in Him. Let our life be Christ, our hope Christ, our foundation Christ.